Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Well, we are just about ready to look through chapter 18 of the first book of Psalms. And just this whole first book has been really interesting to see the process that David goes through to understand what it means to be confident, like fully confident in the goodness and the strength and power of God in his life, right? And today's no different. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 18. And if you look at your background, if you open up your Bible and look at the chapter heading of Psalm 18, it's actually one of the longer ones that you're going to see in the whole book of Psalms. There's probably only one that's longer than this one. Basically, it's describing how David writes this psalm after being delivered from his enemies. And he particularly points out from Saul, right? Being delivered from Saul. And so we're going to kind of look a little bit about what this is talking about, especially if you remember how his aspect of who David's situation with Saul, it kind of tells us a little bit about the background story that's taking place as David is writing this. And he's again describing what has happened after having been delivered by God from his enemies and from Saul, right? So this is kind of like him, again, looking back at his life and seeing all the ways in which God has helped him and protected him. Now, think about this with me for a little bit. David's life, especially as a young man, was a very difficult life. Think about this. As a shepherd boy, right? He's a shepherd boy. He's coming in from shepherding a sheep one day, and he meets Samuel, the great prophet, who tells him that he is going to become the next king of Israel. And God, through the anointing of Samuel, promises David the throne of Israel, right? At this point in his life, he's still just a young boy. Some people say he's around 10, some people say around 15. He's a young teenager, right? And around this time, Samuel anoints David to be the king of Israel. Now, this is when Saul is already the king, and everybody is expecting his son Jonathan to take over the throne after Saul. Only David and maybe his family and a few close people know that David has been anointed king of Israel, right? So after David receives this promise of God through Samuel, this anointing of becoming the king of Israel, his life becomes very, very difficult. There are moments where he's like really, really great, has great victories. There are also a lot of moments where he is experiencing extreme difficulty. Think about what happened after David defeated Goliath and his popularity just shot up, right? And then Saul the king became very jealous of David, and ultimately his envy just grew and grew inside him to the point where he was completely obsessed with removing his source of envy, which he thinks is David, right? So he's fully focused, fully obsessed with trying to kill David. That in and of itself is just a horrifying thought if you think about it. I mean, think your own king, right? You're in your own nation. Your own king is trying to kill you. Not just like a group of people like you, but you specifically. Like he's pointing you out and he's like, I'm going after you. And he has all of the resources of the kingdom at his hand to accomplish this goal of killing you. And there doesn't seem to be anything that can prevent him from accomplishing this goal. Like he's gonna get you, right? There seems to be no hope in David's situation. So all through this constant struggle of David in just trying to stay alive while being hunted like an animal, right? He's trying to stay alive and And really, if you think about all that he's going through, it really makes a lot of sense as to the crying out to God. God, where are you? Why am I going through all of these struggles? Have you left me? Have you forgotten your promise to me? All of these struggles and emotions that and stress and difficulty that David is going through, it makes a lot of sense when you think about it that way, right? But throughout the difficulty that David endured, time and again, God would answer his prayer. God would come to his rescue, and in the moments where he seemed like he was completely hopeless, like, this is it, this is the last day I'm going to live, Saul's going to get me, I have nowhere else to run, I have nowhere else to go, and miraculously, just things happen in David's life that prevent Saul from being able to get to him, right? And as he goes through this, he learns over and over again what it means to trust that God will deliver him, to trust that God will keep his promise, even when he's in these situations that seem like there's absolutely no way out, that there's absolutely no hope. Miraculously, God finds ways to help him. So this process of David fleeing for his life consistently, from the time that David was anointed king by Samuel as a young shepherd boy, to the time that David ascended the throne, the promise of God fully being fulfilled, was actually 15 years. David waited 15 years for God to answer, to fulfill the promise of his anointing as a young shepherd boy. Now he's about 30 years old, and as he's ready to ascend the throne, he writes this psalm, Psalm 18. And this psalm is basically David looking back over those years and seeing all of the ways that God had protected him and delivered him during that time he was being hunted by Saul, right? And this song, I think, really meant a lot to David, because you see this same song being sung by David in actually 2 Samuel 22, basically the end of David's life. In this context, in Psalm 18, he's reflecting back on his time being hunted by Saul. And then later on in 2 Samuel 22, he's reflecting using these same Psalm 18 words to reflect back on his life as a whole and seeing how God delivered him over and over from the hands of his enemies, right? So we see that. So let's take a look together at this psalm and see the things that David saw. See how David's confidence in God being able to deliver him in his life, seeing how David's confidence grew, and let that be a source of our confidence growing in God and delivering us in our times of struggle and distress, right? Now, this is a long psalm. This is probably one of the longer psalms in the whole book of Psalms. It's definitely the longest psalm in the first book from 1 through 41. And it's one of the longer ones. So we're not going to have time to go through it all, but we're going to go through just a little bit of it, just the first half, basically, to kind of get a little bit of the flow of the psalm. And then feel free to read it at later on to meditate on it, to chew on it, to think about the things that David is writing about in the context of this psalm, all right? In verse 1 through 3, David basically starts out with just the burst of joyful praise and love and adoration to his father, for God, for love, for delivering him and for rescuing him. Verse 1 says this, Psalm 18, verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. David's just like, Father, I love you. Man, you're the best. That's kind of like the aspect. The word love is like a burst of emotion of, man, I love you, God. You're just awesome. That kind of a emotion that's coming out of David. You can understand why after seeing how God had continually rescued him, right? And then verse 2 and verse 3, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler or my shield, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Isn't it interesting how David just gives name after name after name of God? Like, he just describes all these different names for God. God, you're my rock, you're my salvation, the horde of my salvation, you're my buckler, you're my fortress. He starts naming all these different names of God, and it's interesting. Why does he do this? What is the goal for this? I mean, he is singing a song. Is he just like throwing out a bunch of random words? I don't think he is. I really think that David is pulling out memories of his past, and those words are like a revealing of a memory, and each word describes a moment in his life where God rescued him or saved him or helped him in his trouble. And so these words are memory triggers for David's life, of experiencing God's protection in his life. David describes God as a rock in which he can hide and be protected from, a fortress that would defend him from his enemies. He describes God maybe as a deliverer, maybe somebody who helps him escape, or a source of strength when he is fully out of strength, a buckler or a shield to protect him from attacks against his enemies. Maybe a powerful horn of salvation. It's like a ram's horn, or the horn of the altar is a ram's horn. That's kind of like a protective, strong force, right? That protects the herd. And God is his ram's horn that protects him. A high tower to warn him of approaching enemies. You see all these little descriptions of probably, I really think they're like memory triggers that remind him, that word reminds him of a memory in which God protected him and God delivered him out of a struggle. Man, that's really interesting, isn't it? Think back through your life. Maybe there are times where you have a memory of something that happened in your life and a word that would trigger that memory. And boy, wouldn't that be great to have your own Psalm 18, like praising God. God, you are my, I don't know, text message. You, I have like different ones that I use personally for myself. And I was, as I was thinking about this, like, oh man, God, you are, I know mine are really weird. Like, God, you are my bookmark. And there's a reason, story behind that I'm going to get into. But like, there's like these different things that you can describe for God and how he rescued you and how he helped you in your times of distress, just like David did, right? But it is important to remember that these descriptions of God are at times when David is in the midst of great suffering, great sorrow, great worry, and even bewilderment, and trying to understand and get and be going through times of hopelessness, right? And the thing is, it was in these times of struggle and worry and fear, that God came and rescued him. And those times of struggle were the experiences in which David clearly saw how God would protect him. Literally, the struggles were the revealing of God's protection in a clear and effective way in which God and in which David had no doubt that God was the one who rescued him. I mean, it was like clear and obvious and as plain as day, and David recognized that and he saw that. And so those moments up until the time of God's delivery were full of fear and struggle and doubt and a lot of suffering, right? And then the moment of God's rescue came, and then it all made sense, and David like glorifies God for the things that he does, right? This is helpful for us because maybe you right now are in the middle of a struggle. Maybe you're in the middle of despair, right? And it seems like there's no end. You don't see any way that this is going to change in your life. There's no trajectory transition that you see that's going to make things better, right? And it's in these moments where you don't see how anything can change. Maybe you're afraid of what you're about ready to face, or your heart is full of distress because of what you're enduring and going through. It's in these times of uncertainty where you don't know how the trajectory of life is going to change that it's helpful to understand that you're not alone in this. This is something that your brothers and sisters also experience in their life. And it's something that your brother David, the king, also experienced. Look at verse 4 and 5. He's describing the emotions that he has gone through before delivery came. Verse 4, the sorrows of death compassed me, surrounded me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Think of King David. David, the mighty man, he was afraid. Even as a young shepherd boy going through this, he experienced fear. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented, or they confronted me. They stood against me. David understood. David knew what it meant to endure these times of fear. But it was in those times of distress that God did not forsake David. Boy, that's helpful for you and for me when we go through these times of struggle and fear and distress. Don't forget, God has not forsaken you. He has not left you alone. He has heard your crying out to God. And this is what David does. In these times of distress, cry out to God. This is what David does as well. And God listens to us when we cry out to him. Verse six, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried unto my God. This is what David did. He's in distress. The only thing he can do is call on God, to cry out to God. I love the response. I cried unto my God and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Like, you can just see God like going, oh, David's crying. Oh, it's time. All right, let's do it, guys. You know, that kind of a thing, right? Oh, so amazing. David's cry reached the ears of God himself. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's great, Brother Steve, but, you know, that's David, right? Man after God's own heart kind of David. I mean, I am not that. I'm just me. I'm just little old me. I mean, if I were like David, maybe God would hear my prayers like he heard David's prayers, but I'm just me. Why would God hear my prayers in the same way that God would hear David's prayers? And here's what's so important to understand is that God is unchanging. He doesn't change. A lot of times we take his unchanging aspect and only refer to it in the context of time. Like, God doesn't change from the David's time period, and he doesn't change in our time period. But I think this can also be said to those whom God loves and cares for, to those who belong to God. God doesn't change the way he responds, his response to those who belong to him. He responds to those who belong to him. And think about this. If you have put your faith in his son, Jesus, guess what? In Christ, you belong to God, the creator of all things. So God hears your cry to him, and his rescue is coming. This is so important to understand. A lot of times, though, we never see it coming. We never see it coming. There is rarely a time where we say, okay, this is God's plan. His rescue is going to come on such and such a day. So I just have to hold on until that day comes, right? A lot of times we are in full expectation of enduring this suffering for the foreseeable future. And then one moment, rescue comes, and it comes in such a great and powerful force, clearly evident that it is from God, that you realize, oh, God has been working through this all along. You never see it coming, but when it comes, you see it in its full glory and its full brilliance. And this is what David describes, how David describes God's delivery in verses 7 through 15. We're not going to read it now, but read it later, because it describes something very interesting. He's basically describing the full forces of nature being compiled into one massive force of delivery. He talks about earthquakes. He talks about volcanoes and tornadoes, hurricanes, thunder, lightning, hailstorms, and floods. All of these powerful forces of nature combined into one powerful force to rescue David. The force of God, the creator of all things, the ruler of nature, is come to help, come to rescue, come to deliver. So in David's time of weakness, when those who were trying to destroy David were too strong for David, they were overwhelming him in his trouble, that's when God came in his great power to rescue him and to put him in a safe place. Look at what he says in verse 17 and verse 19. Verse 17 says this, "He delivered me from my strong enemy." David had some strong enemies, powerful, powerful enemies, against whom there seemed nothing could stop them from getting to David. "He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me." Sometimes we feel like that, right? Verse 19 is interesting. "He brought me forth also into a large place," a safe place. "He delivered me because he delighted in me." That's interesting. Why did God help him? Why did God rescue him? Because God delighted in David. What's he talking about here? What's this delighting in me that he's talking about? Well, there's a couple of things that I think it can point to. One of the things is that he points to how God, in his grace towards David, because God loves David and delights in him, maybe it's pointing to that aspect and just the fact that God in his love and his grace, he loves David, man after his own heart, he loves David and he delights in him. And then, you know, we go back to the, oh man, I was man after God's own heart kind of thing. You know, maybe if God delighted in me the way God delighted in David, maybe he would deliver me out of my misery, right? It's easy to think that, isn't it? Well, the truth is he does. He does delight in you just like he delights in David because, like I said before, you are in Christ. And don't underestimate the value that God holds to you, the love and the acceptance and the welcoming. He deeply delights in you because you are in Christ. And we went through this whole aspect of how much God loves us because of who we are in Christ. Just in the earlier series, when we talked about who we are in Christ, that is huge, huge. We can't forget that. And so because God delights in us, the same rescue that is available to David because God delighted in David, he also delivers to us because he delights in us. But it is important to remember that it's not in your timing, it is in God's timing. God's timing is always going to be perfect in revealing his power and glory in your life so that you have confidence in him every time you go through these situations, that another name for God, another reminder, another trigger of a memory that God has rescued you, right? There is another meaning in what David said, and it's important that we look at this too. And we can see it in what David says in verse 20. Verse 20 says this, "The Lord," this is David talking, "the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me." And then for the next couple of verses, all the way through verse 24, David talks about his righteousness, his goodness. Essentially, he's talking about how he has been walking on the path of the righteous. Remember in Psalm 1, we talked about the two paths that are available to us, the path of the godless man and the path of the righteous man, and how going on the path of the righteous man, you find delight in God through his word. And then the path of the godless man is remove yourself from the authority and the presence and the delight of God in your life. David's basically saying, listen, I've been walking down the path of the righteous. This is an interesting thing to think about. Man, my voice went way up there, didn't it? Wow. Especially when you think about the fact that David sings this song in two different times in his life. Psalm 18, after Saul, but also 2 Samuel 22 at the end of his life. And I'm going to talk about the differences because it's a huge, there's a big difference. In both songs, he says the same thing, what he talks about in verses 20 through 24. The first time David sings this, remember what David has been going through. David has been promised by God the throne of Israel. God promised David that he would become the king of Israel, right? But there's a problem. And the problem is that somebody stood in the way of God's promise being fulfilled, namely Saul, right? Not just in the sense that Saul was out to kill David. That was very true, but also in another context. The only way for David to become the king of Israel was if Saul were no longer the king of Israel. If David were to be king, it would mean that Saul would have to not be king, right? Does that make sense? And so there were times in the struggle that Saul went where David was running away that David had opportunity to remove the obstacle that was hindering God's promise from coming to him. Basically, David had opportunity after opportunity to not trust in the plan for God, the plan that God had in his life, to take matters into his own hands, to let go of trusting and obedience in God, to sin by harming the Lord's anointed, and to take matters into his own hand, and to remove the obstacle from God's promise coming true in his life. He basically could have taken the shortcut, but in doing so, he would have sinned, right? David consistently chose to resist the temptation to not trust God, to not obey God, to take matters into his own hands. Instead, David chose to trust in God's plan for him, even if it meant to wait and to trust God, even in the time when the very obstacle that prevented God's promise was trying to attack him and destroy him. David is not saying that he, in and of himself, is sinless. He fully recognizes that it is God who sustained him all throughout that time of struggle. And he reflects that. He reminds us of that. Verse 32, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. It's not me. God's the one that sustains me and makes my way perfect. He's the one who helps me to walk on the path of righteousness. He fully recognizes that. What David is saying, though, is that he chose to follow and obey God by trusting in his timing. And in doing so, God rewarded him. God chose to reward David's obedience. That's helpful for us because it reminds us, hey, listen, if you're going through struggle, don't take the shortcut. Don't take the easy way out. Even if it's right there, trust in God's timing. Trust in him. Stay on the path of Psalm 1, the path that delights in God through his word. And when we do that, as we delight in him through his word, we also get to see how he delights in us as those who are in his son. Do you see how that ties together? So even in those times when it's really hard to do that, when you're struggling and you're going through difficulty, know that God will sustain you. Know that he will help you to walk on the path of righteousness, that he will give you strength when you are weak, when you are at your weakest moment. God will give you strength through Jesus. He is your strength, remember? I want to close, we're running out of time, so I want to close by this, reminding us of the second time David sang this psalm. In 2 Samuel 22, he sings this song pretty much word for word. But at this point, it's at the end of his life. It's after his great sin of sleeping with Bathsheba, and even his worst sin of killing Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, and trying to cover up his sin, right? And even here, at the end of his life, David sings these same words. And it makes you wonder, well, how can David say this? I mean, he's sinned, and he's sinned horribly. He's killed somebody. He's committed adultery. How can David say these same words after the things that he's done? Is he ignoring his sin? The truth is, he's not. And here's why we can say that. David can say these words as an amazing testimony to the mercy and to the forgiveness of God. Just like you and I can. In the same way that you and I can boast and brag on the forgiveness and mercy of God because of who we are in Christ, so also David glorifies God in his mercy and forgiveness by saying these things. And here's why. After David sinned, how can David say that? There's a reason for that. After David sinned, Nathanael the prophet came to King David, and the things that he had been trying to cover up, Nathanael publicly exposed. He let David know, and all those around David know, the sin that David had done. He exposed David's sin. What was David's response to that? Did he try to explain away his sin? Did he try to go after Nathanael to cover it up? Did he attack Nathanael for exposing it? 2 Samuel 12 tells us the story. We're not going to look at it, but 2 Samuel 12, David's simple response in that is this: I have sinned against the Lord. David repented of his sin. Psalm 51 is his song of repentance. Just the first three verses say this: Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. David is asking God to cleanse him, to blot out his transgressions. It is true that David suffered, and those around him suffered for those sins. He suffered the consequences of his sin, right? We saw that in Psalm 3, where Absalom, his son, rebelled against him. Part of that was an indirect result, an effect of David's sin, right? But even in that, David also received complete forgiveness from God because of his repentance. God did blot out his transgressions. And because of God's forgiveness, full forgiveness, David was able to stand not in his own purity, not in his own strength, but fully and only because of the forgiveness and mercy of God himself, was he able to say, God, it's only because of you that I can say this, but I have been able to walk the path of the righteous. I stumbled, I fell, I messed up, and I repented, and you forgave me. Isn't it often so amazing to see how so many times in the Bible we see people who sin, horrible sin, and yet they repent of their sin. And in their repentance, God restores them. That's the same for us. When we do mess up, and we do, we all do, when we do mess up, be reminded of the fact that you can go to your Father and you can repent, to turn away from sin, to repent, and Jesus will give you the strength to turn away from that sin. And you can go to your Father and ask him to forgive you and repent of sin, and God will, and you can be confident in knowing that God will forgive you and to help you restore your path on the path of the righteous. Oh, this is so amazing. So thankful to God for the ways in which he restores us. He redeems us. He delivers us. Oh, there are so many things we can think about just in this first part of Psalm 18. There are so many things. First, we can think about God's grace and how it is fully sufficient to give us strength to walk in the paths of righteousness, even in the midst of difficulty, right? God gives us strength to walk on that, even in the middle of struggle. But also we can see God's power, that it is fully sufficient to deliver us as we cry out to him. God is powerful and his strength is amazing to see. Like all of the forces of nature combined into one in its process of rescuing us, right? But also his mercy. His mercy is fully sufficient to completely forgive us of our sin when we repent. This is the confidence that David had in his deliverer. This is the confidence that you and I can have as well in God, our deliverer, because we are in Christ, right? There's so much more we could look at in this psalm, but this is a great thing to be reminded of, right? As you think about Psalm 18 and as you meditate on these words, think about four things that we looked at. First, remember the ways in which God delivered you. Think about, have those memory triggers, those words that you can use to describe God in your experience of his delivery. And call him in those deliverers. Father, you are my rescue. And describe those ways. If you are crying out to him now for his delivery, know that he hears you. He does hear you. If you're going through struggle and if you're going through distress, cry out to him because he does hear you. Know that his help will come. Thirdly, even in the difficulty, purpose in your heart to trust in God's power and in his strength. Not only in delivering you, but also in sustaining you as you wait for his delivery to come. Stay in his word. Delight yourself in his word. Cling to his promises, just as David did. Find your delight in him and wait for his delivery. If you do mess up, fourthly, repent of your sin. Repent of it. Ask God to forgive you and then turn away from it. Go back to your Father, knowing that he'll welcome you, that his mercy is fully sufficient to restore you, to cleanse you, and that in doing so, in repenting of your sins, you can have restoration with God, and that he will continue to help you walk even in the midst of difficulty and even in the midst of struggle. Psalm 18 is a great reminder of how God delivers us. God is mighty and powerful in doing so. He is mighty and powerful in sustaining us in our times of difficulty. He is mighty and powerful in forgiving, gracious, merciful in the times that we do mess up to restore us back to himself. Praise God for that. He is an amazing, wonderful deliverer. Remember that today and throughout this week. Take time this week, like look through life, remember the different ways in which God has helped you and give him those names, those memory triggers to remind yourself, because there will be times when you will need to look back on those moments to help you to get through new times of struggle and new times of difficulty. And you can look back and that memory trigger will remind you, God help me here. Oh, God, help me there too. I remember this. God, help me here when we had no hope for what our plans were going to be. We had no way of figuring out what was going to happen. God took care of us. Those memory triggers will sustain you just like it did for David. All right. I love you guys. I'm going to go ahead and close with this. Let's close in prayer and just be reminded of how God is good to us and thank him for it, shall we? Father, thank you. Boy, I tell you what, just like David, man, Father, I love you. Oh, you're so amazing. You're so good and you're so kind. We are reminded of that again today through David's words. And it helps us. It helps us to sing to you, to praise you, to be reminded of ways in which we can glorify you because of the fact that you deliver us consistently. You don't change. In rescuing David, you also rescue us, and we can trust in that. Thank you so much for showing us that through Psalm 18 today. Help us as we study it and look at it further. Continue to help us to see more truths from this psalm, Holy Spirit, as you guide us through the following verses of that verse of that chapter as well. Be with us the rest of the week and continue to help us to walk in the path of righteousness, to trust in you, and to trust in your timing of delivery. In Jesus' name, Amen.